Dear Lord, we thank you for this time to be gathered together in your name today. We thank you for this chance to be surrounded by those who love you and those who love each other. We ask you, Lord, for your presence to be with us in this moment, to guide our reading of your word, to bless our expounding upon the word, that what is spoken, Lord, we pray is from you, and that it challenges us, it encourages us. And anything that's not from you, we pray, Lord, is forgotten. We thank you for all that you've done, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, many of you I have shared and I've been open with over the past year or so know that I've gone through some struggles of my own. Went through a pretty rough patch in my life. And I've shared this with the ins before too. In 2008, I was going before the Board of Ordained Ministry. I'll try my best at this. So when you go to become a pastor in the Methodist Church, there's a lot of different steps to take. And one of those steps is meeting before BOOM, Board of Ordained Ministry. And what that board is there are other clergy and laity throughout the Methodist Church that test you. It's an interview process. And if you're able to pass the first level of the BOOM of Ordained Ministry, it's called provisional level, then you go for 3 years as a provisioner on probation, basically, for 3 years, and then you meet before the BOOM again, and if you pass that, then you're an elder. Well, in 2008, I met the BOOM for the provisional interview for the first time. So that'll tell you how that first time went. I got denied. It's called being delayed for a year. In the midst of that, they told me that one of the things I had to do during my year of limbo was that I had to go see a battery of psychological tests over in Philadelphia. It's a different name now, so it doesn't matter what it was called then. So I went over, and for two very intense days, I took different written psychological tests, and I met with three different counselors, a counselor, a psychiatrist, and a psychologist. I looked at ink blots. I answered questions about my family. I probably was in session for 9, 10, 11, 12 hours, you know, over the course of that with all the different tests I had to take. Whole point for telling you this is at the end of that, I came out with a diagnosis of what's called dysthymia. Dysthymia is a low-grade depression of which I have had no need at that time to take medication for. It's just that I have trouble expressing high highs and low lows, meaning if I'm really sad, most people don't know about it. If I'm really happy, most people don't know about it. I just kind of live right here, you know, in this even place. What that also means is I'm more prone to deeper depression when things get really hard. So last year, I slipped pretty far down, more than I ever have before. But in the midst of that, I have received so much love and support. The Holy Spirit spoke to me in so many different ways and through so many different people through that time, and that it reminded me, God reminded me, that this isn't the end of it. This isn't the final word. Jesus, I'll come back to that in a moment. Jesus was on, this is part of, in Matthew, what's called his Sermon on the Mount, but in Luke, it's called his blessings and his woes. It says Jesus was in an even place, just surrounded by a multitude of people, some his disciples, other people who just came because they wanted to hear who this Jesus was and what he had to say, and they also heard that he was a healer, so they brought all their sick with them, all the people they wanted Jesus to touch, and they were trying to touch Jesus because when they did, power came out from him and healed them. I mean, I imagine chaos. Just and the disciples doing the best that they can to try and protect Jesus and keep the people away, or at least have some sort of organizational process. Who's there? Everyone who needs help. People whose lives are a mess. People who are searching for answers. I imagine those who are poor are there. Prostitutes are there. People who are unsavory of character, but looking for help. People who are of savory character, but looking for just a lot of the needy. In every sense of the word, are there. I'm going to ask this question, but you don't have to answer it out loud. Are anyone here amongst the needy? Anyone here amongst people who have questions, who don't know things, who would like to learn more, who have doubts and fears and want some sort of comfort or support from that? Because all those kinds of people were around Jesus. But you know who else was there? Those who had all the answers, those who know everything. Are you amongst those who know everything? Those who have all the answers? I don't know if there's anyone who would admit to that in public here. But there were people amongst the church of the day, other people amongst the officials who were just curious about who Jesus was. And when they looked out amongst the crowd, they probably thought, look at his poor lost souls. All these people who just don't know what's going on in life, looking for a free handout or are just bumping along in the dark. I'm glad I'm not one of them. I know exactly what's going on. I got money. I got food in my belly. I got everything that I could possibly need. And I'm not saying that anyone here's like that necessarily. I think more accurately, we probably jump between one group and the next, depending on the situation. That there are times in our lives where we are quite needy, quite in need of help from others, or experiencing great doubt. And then in other situations, we feel we got this. We got it handled. We got it secured. I think when we judge our own lives or look at the lives of other people, we do so from one particular perspective, and that's the present. How is life going for me right now? How are things in this moment? When I was going through that tough time last year, when the depression was really hard on me, I was only able to see this far ahead of me. I was only able to feel the pain and the lostness that was in my life. And at times, I'll admit, there was a sense of hopelessness because of what I was feeling in that moment. But then there are other times, like right now, where I feel good. I thank God for God's presence in my life, for the family that I have, for you guys. Oftentimes, we judge our lives and how we are in this one singular moment. But Jesus has a word for that, has a message for us who only judge life by this one singular moment. And we even have another thing for that, and we say, what, take things one day at a time. Jesus said that to you, one day at a time, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And that's a good way of thinking, but Jesus does have a slight warning for us. And he says that each person is made up of potential. That we aren't the culmination of who we are. The entirety of who we are is not made up in this moment, but it is also made up of what can be, of what we can do in the future, what can happen to us. Jesus looks out at all of the people who are in need, who need help, who are crying, who are mourning, who are sick. And when those people who think they have everything look at them, they say, look at these people. Look at all these soulless, lost people. Jesus looks at them and he has a word for them. He says to them, you may not feel this right now, but I want you to know this. He says, he looked up at his disciples and he says to the people, blessed are you who are poor. Imagine that. Imagine being poor. And someone said, blessed are you who are poor. What would your reaction be? Really? Are you mocking me? Are you being sarcastic or facetious? Facetious, though, I like that word. It's fun to you. Are you being facetious? Jesus says, no. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. For your life is greater than what you have. For you have all that God has given to you, which is greater than anything the world can give. Blessed are you who are hungry. I can say I've been hungry, but I don't think I can really say that I've really been hungry. But those who have really been hungry, Jesus says, blessed are you who are hungry. Really? Are you sure? Jesus says, for you will be filled. You will be provided for. Don't judge your situation by what's going on right now, but judge it by the potential that the Holy Spirit has to work in your life, by the hope that is yet to come. God will take care of you. Blessed are you who weep now, who are mourning, who are sad. Why? Why should I be happy that I'm sad right now? Why should I feel blessed? Because you will laugh. Because Christ will work in your life in such a way that you will find peace. When I was going through that depression, people reminded me that this will not last. That there is hope to come. But then all the people are looking on to the people and saying, wow, look at them, my life is so much better. God has a word for them too. But woe to you who are rich. Why are you saying, woe to me? I got everything that I could possibly need. For you have received your consolation. For this is as good as it gets for you. I'm getting better. May lose it at some point. God's saying, life is not made up of this moment. Life is made up of all the moments that were and all the moments that are to come. That the circumstances that we find ourselves in can change. So not to base our lives upon what we have now, but base our lives upon who can help us through what's to come. Woe to you who are full now. For one day you'll be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for one day you will mourn. Woe to you for all who speak well of you, for one day that might not happen. Jesus looks at life and sees the fluidity of it, that the circumstances that we find ourselves in can change. But the one thing that we can base our lives upon is the Holy Spirit, who does not change, but who is with us through every circumstance, every change, and who gives us what we need in those moments. When I was going through the depression, all I could see was this. All I could see was the sadness, the hurt, and the pain. But Christ reminded me that God's bigger than that. That God can change the situation that I'm in. And through your love and support, through the support of Stephanie and my kids, through the counselor that I'm seeing now, I was able to see that things can change and that God is with me. And so whatever situations that we are going through in the greater church, in Trinity Methodist Church, in our personal lives, it's not these things that we should base our hope upon, but it's Jesus Christ that we should base our hope upon. And I pray that we're able to do that, to lean upon Christ in all things, to rejoice over what we have, understanding that maybe one day we may not, to be sad on what we don't have, with the understanding that one day we may have what we need, because Christ is with us always, helping us through and giving us what we need in those moments. And I thank God for that. I thank God for you. And I thank God for Jesus Christ in my life.